Hey, it's Johnny Jett. Welcome back to my YouTube channel and podcast. Today we have a very special guest. I'm talking special because it's my cousin, Einar Hansen. My middle name is Einar because our grandfather was named Einar and we're both named after him. But Einar, you know, I usually don't have relatives on here, but my cousin Einar, I think because of the pandemic, started a newsletter or a blog, Einar's Camping Tips, during it. And I read it every week because even though I've never camped in my life, and I'm sorry to admit that, there's so much good information out there. So I said, hey, Einar, do you want to come on here and talk about it? So Einar, thanks for taking the time.
No problem, Johnny.
So how long have you been camping for?
Let's see. I started when I was 4 years old.
Okay.
Your
and
uncle.
And you're 30 now.
Huh?
And you're 30 now. So you started at
57 years. I've been camping for 57 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and I don't know if you remember, but this is before you were probably even born.
Yep.
That my family, my mother, my father, and my sister, Christine, we went to Europe and camped in a Volkswagen camper in 21 countries
Wow.
for 9 months.
I had no idea.
Back in 1968.
I was not born.
Remember, my father was not a hippie.
Yeah.
and he was an ex-Marine, and we went to Europe, and we basically bummed around 21 countries for 9 months in a Volkswagen camper that we bought in Hamburg, Germany.
Oh, my God. And was that just an amazing experience, or was it miserable?
Oh, it's etched in the back of my mind forever.
I bet. I mean, so do you have a favorite country from that trip?
Turkey.
Wow. And have you gone back to Europe, by the way, since that trip?
No.
We got to get you back there. So now you just camp, you camp locally in Massachusetts?
Massachusetts, Maine, Connecticut, you know, New England.
Okay. And so you own an RV?
Yeah, just last year, Nancy and I, we upgraded from a 20-foot hybrid to a 35-foot travel trailer.
And, you know, I was looking on your, reading your blog, and there was one on fire. And was that yours? I wasn't clear on that.
No, that was at the camp, at the campgrounds where we have our seasonal site.
Okay, so that was not your camper on fire, because I was like, it's not
no,
a great.
No.
You're not a great person to interview if that's the case.
That was an exciting morning.
I bet. So I think this year, and I definitely last year, there's still going to be a lot of new people out there camping, like myself. I mean, honestly, I'm sorry to say I've never been camping. My parents were never into it. And I never camped besides being in the backyard. I think I've done luxury glamping, but that doesn't really count. We're staying in 5-star hotels in the outback of Australia, or.
Well, that's a big thing now.
Totally.
Camping.
I've done a lot of glamping.
Even KOA is getting into it up in Maine. They opened up an exclusive glamping campgrounds up there.
Right. So what are some of your tips for first timers? Either, you know, just camping or, you know, getting an RV, renting an RV.
Well, I mean, any way you want to do it, as long as you get out there. But I would say probably the most important thing is know your equipment. You know, it's not like you just go buy a tent and you go camping with it. You know, check the thing out, set it up in your backyard, take it for a whirl, you know, a lot of these newer ones have a lot of pieces to put them together. You know, you have shock poles and everything else. And I mean, you might as well learn how to use the stuff the right way. You know, I don't know if you read my blog this morning, but, you know, like my father used to say, you take good care of your equipment, it'll take good care of you.
That's good advice.
And it's like you buy a camping stove, go try it out. Don't stick it on your back deck and try it. Take it out into the middle of your backyard. Let the wind hit it. See how it's going to react. Learn how to cook on it. You know, plus if something does go wrong, you won't set your house on fire on the deck.
it's good advice. And, you know, you have a lot of practical tips on your blog. And so last week, I think you talked about how to make sure that you always put either a mat down underneath even your tent, which I didn't realize. I mean, that's how newbie I am, but you would think just putting a tent up, that's all you need. But you were like, put a mat. Is that a rubber mat or is that any kind of mat?
I mean, some of the people, they get, you know, the foam tiles, they put those down. I mean, you put a regular ground cloth down before you actually set the tent up on it. And then, like, for inside, you put the foam tiles down, especially like this time of year in New England. If you're going to winter camp, it helps the insulation. You know, you're not laying on such, you know, something that's going to radiate the cold right through you into your sleeping bag.
Right. And what is your favorite season, by the way, to camp in New England?
I've done them all.
Have you?
I remember even when I was in the Boy Scouts in upstate New York, we did an Order of the Arrow ordeal, and we slept under the stars. It was 23 below zero, and all we had was sleeping bags.
Oh, my gosh.
That was part of the ordeal.
So I think actually I did read in one of your blogs about when you do sleep in a sleeping bag to make sure that you sleep. Did you say, I can't remember now. Did you say sleep with clothes on or without clothes on? I think with clothes on, so you don't get it all sweaty. On.
Yeah. Sleep with clothes on because for one thing, it helps to keep your sleeping bag clean.
Right.
You know, your body does emit oils and odors and stuff like that. You know, and after a while, your sleeping bag might start to smell. You know, it used to be, you know, people, I had even tried it. I even wrote it on the blog. You know, some people, sleep naked, you know, in your sleeping bag. It's warmer. It's not.
It's not. Okay.
Especially if you got to get up in the middle of the night and nature calls.
Right. And so this year, because, I mean, everyone wants to be outdoors and there's a pandemic going on. A lot of more people are camping. I mean, do you notice more people camping than?
Oh yeah. I mean, when this all started last year, like where we are in Plymouth, where we have our seasonal site, it started out, they didn't even know if they were going to open. It was the only campgrounds in Massachusetts that finally was the first one to open. And it was because they went and they talked to, the health department in Plymouth, and they said to them, we have these people who already have the seasonal sites, they're already paid for, you know, we have to let them do something. They're going to be outside. So they opened it up in the very beginning for just the seasonal campsite, like Nancy and I have. And then any essential employees that were like working in the hospital in the area or over in Plymouth, which is only like 45 minutes from here, they have a small airport. So you have some pilots that live in RVs. So they stay there at the campgrounds, you know, because a lot of them, they fly from like Plymouth down to Nantucket and out to Martha's Vineyard, you know, and they have small planes there at this airport. So they want to live close.
Right.
You know, and they go with the seasons.
So, but did you get more people than that? I mean, it seems like, are you getting newbies?
In the beginning, the campgrounds is actually like a ghost town. There was like hardly anybody there.
And do you like that?
So many, huh?
Do
it's nice like that? Bring our two dogs, you know.
I see.
And they had a lot of limitations, like they could only let two people into the office and the store at a time. You had to have a mask. They had a restaurant that would do breakfast on the weekends. That hasn't been opened at all. Oh, I just lost you, John.
No, I'm here.
Okay, all right. I just went black. Okay. And I mean, okay. And then finally, you know, the limits here in Massachusetts finally got lifted, you know, so then you had more people coming in, but you still had all the restrictions in there, you know, with, you know, going into the restrooms, you needed to wear a mask because they're public restrooms. And, you know, they still, even at the end of last season, October, you know, it was still limited. They didn't have the restaurant open and, you know, we couldn't have over, you know, we have a bunch of friends that we have seasonal sites right around us. You know, we used to get together like every night around a campfire and we could only have up to 10 people.
So and were people obeying the guidelines?
Yeah, we did. We had to. Otherwise, you know, they'd come around in their golf carts and they'd say, no.
Gotcha.
You know, but like you said, there is a lot more people camping now because they found out how much safer it is in an RV or camping to let you travel.
Right.
You know, it's like you're taking everything with you. You're taking your own bed. You know, I mean, people are still afraid to probably use hotels and fly.
Right.
You know, so everything you need is with you in an RV or even tent camping. You're bringing what you need with you.
For sure. So I heard that, or I read that you need to really make reservations because you just can't show up these days like you used to be able to. Is that true?
No. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's getting tougher now, especially like I just posted on the blog this morning that the Outdoor Hospitality Association has said that, you know, there's going to be 53,000 more campsites, but, you know, just because you're going to have 53,000 more around the country, you know, between some campgrounds adding some or new campgrounds opening. And, you know, yeah, you might have a little bit better odds of getting a campsite, but it's not going to happen overnight.
Right.
You know, all these new sites. And it does get tough because now it's more impersonal because a lot of reservations are booked online.
Where do they book them?
You can go on to Reserve America, any one of the campgrounds like KOA. You know, there's a bunch of them. You just Google find campgrounds and you can find anything from national forests, state forests, you know, public and private camping, RV parks, whatever you need. You know, and now that you have more people buying RVs, in fact, like I posted this morning, the sales of RVs in January alone went up almost 20%. And believe it or not, 3 years ago, one of the big ones, RV companies or sellers of RVs, was almost going to file for bankruptcy because it was that bad. Right. Then all of a sudden, here comes a pandemic, and boom, 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 it's taken off, and they're taking, you know, probably wheelbarrow loads of money to the bank.
They're counting their money. I mean, I guess there is a silver lining for some people with this whole pandemic.
Yeah, and I mean, and you know, you go into some of the RV places to buy an RV now, and there's a shortage. And I mean, even used ones, because they're just flying out of there because people want them.
Right. And they're not easy to drive, right? I mean, that's one of the tips people have to learn is like, do you need a special license or?
No. Only if you go over 45 feet.
Okay.
And that's for, you know, like a class A motorhome, motor coach, you know, one of the big ones. I mean, you know, some of those cost a couple million dollars if you want them.
I've been in one before.
You got to hit the lottery.
Amazing. I went to a NASCAR race and one of the drivers let me check out and I was like, how much does this thing cost? He's like, it's over $1 million. I'm like, what? And it was nicer than my house. So.
Oh yeah. It's like a condo.
Yeah. So speaking of cost, how much does it cost to like reserve a camping spot? I mean, it's not free. And I mean, and I know it's gotta be different if you have an RV or if you're just camping, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it depends if you want to do primitive camping in a tent. And like some campgrounds, they'll offer tenting areas only, you know, and they'll just have a water hookup, no electric, you know, so it's basically, you know, a water faucet by your site, you know, and then some of them, they'll also have electric. And then once you get into the RVs, you have cable TV, you have 30 or 50 amps power service, and then you also have sewer service, you know, because you have the bathroom in there and you have to, you know, dump your tanks, your black and your gray tanks. And, you know, so the sites usually go anywhere from $40 a night to, if you want like something on the water where we go up in Maine, up in Booth Bay, that's like $70 a night.
And this is for RVs or camping.
Yeah. Okay. Or if you want to put a tent, or if you want to put a tent on one of those sites, you know, because you would be amazed at the number of people that we have seen tent camping that bring their TVs.
Do they?
Yeah.
So they just pull up in their car, pull out a tent and a TV, and they set up shop.
Yeah, because they got the electrical outlet there and they got water there.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. And they can walk up to public restrooms.
But $40 is not that cheap.
And they have showers. They have laundry rooms, you know, coin operated washers and dryers.
Okay. But what are the, I was going to say, what are some of the biggest mistakes you see these rookies making when they first show up besides bringing a TV?
Setting their tent up in a wrong place. Yep. And all of a sudden it rains and they're sleeping in a pond.
What's a wrong place?
Low ground.
So you look for low ground. I mean, if you see low ground, you don't go there. You try to set up on a hill.
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, you look for a good level place, not a dip. You know, Nancy and I, one year we went up, we were up in New Hampshire in North Conway. We went up there. Mother comes in one day with her two kids, and Nancy and I had camped in this one site right across from where they were for a couple years. And this woman comes pulling in with her two kids. Her husband was going to join them later that night after he got out of work. And she goes to set up the tent. And I said to her, "You don't want to put that tent there." She said, "Why?" I said, "That's a low spot there." And I said, "My wife and I have camped here for a few years. And when it does rain, you're going to end up getting wet." And she didn't listen. You know, she looked at me like I was a pain in the neck. And it rained that night. And next morning, she's running around trying to get a bunch of quarters to go up to the washers and dryers and dry their sleeping bags out.
Oh, my gosh. Did she say, "I'm sorry," or anything like that? Or?
Well, I was going to say, "Well, I told you so." But she looked over and she came over to the campsite. She goes, "You were right."
You need to start making up like a Einert's blogs, camping tips, stickers or something. Yeah. So by the way, say your URL one more time, einertscampingtips.com.
Yep.
So for people who don't know how to spell Einert, it's EINAR.
Yeah, well, you should know.
Well, I know. That's for sure. But, you know, even having a middle name like Einert, it took me a little while to figure it out when I was a kid. So
that's all right.
Yeah.
Having a first name, you should try having the first name of Einert. And going, putting up with that all your life.
Well, how do you say that?
You know, but when you go to Scandinavia, people are like, "Oh, my God, your middle name's Einert." They treat you like royalty.
No. When we went to Denmark, we looked through the local phone book where we were outside of Copenhagen, and there was no Einers in the phone book.
Well, I think Einers is more Norwegian.
Yeah, but you know, our grandfather's from from Denmark,
right? I know, but also, but I've been—I mean, I've been to every Scandinavian country, and when I always tell people what my middle name is, and they love it, so. But regardless of our names, so I also read that, what kind of tape do you carry? I mean, I always tell people to bring duct tape, but I think you have another kind of tape as well.
There's all kinds. I mean, you use a Teflon tape in the RVs for like around your plumbing fixtures, you know, because you're screwing things on. So you put Teflon tape around there. I mean, duct tape is the tie wire of this century. You know, it used to be everyone used to have tie wire or coat hangers, and now it's even the flex tape is really great stuff.
Flex tape, that's what it was.
You can do a lot with it. Yeah. You know?
So what did they do with the coat hanger stuff?
Oh, it's like, you know, even in a car, your muffler's falling off or something. Tie it up with tie wire.
I gotcha. Okay. I also read, you have a lot of practical tips in there. So not only the tape, you were talking about fire hazards last week, I think, or a couple weeks ago. And, your thing has to be
complete. Sleeping bags, taking care of your equipment. You know, you got to remember, I've been doing this for almost 60 years.
That's insane.
Been there, done that, and probably ruined a lot of t-shirts.
I bet. So what was that fire, by the way? I think you said it was caused by, they didn't clean the refrigerator. The mini refrigerator starts a lot of the fires.
Yeah. 70% of most RV fires are caused by the refrigerators because there are more than one source to use them. You can either have electric, or you can have propane, or some of them will run on, you know, the electric as well, and some will run off of generators, 12 volt systems. So when you have a refrigerator that's running on propane, you have a burner that's actually behind your refrigerator. It vents outside. So you need a vent that goes up through the roof to vent out the heat, because actually what's going on when you're cooling, you're actually using heat to cool in a refrigerator, because your coils in there are filled with, it's almost like an ammonia. And when you heat ammonia, it gets cold. So that's why you heat it, and you know, the heat's got to go somewhere. And then the ammonia is in a closed system, and that's what's actually cooling everything inside the refrigerator.
So if I get an RV, I want to make sure my refrigerator is not propane.
You can, well, most RVs have a two-way refrigerator. It's either propane, it's both propane and electric.
Oh, it is. Okay.
So you can boondock.
I gotcha. I see.
Remember when you're asking about boondocking?
Yeah. So go out to, you know, so you can take it out into the middle.
Go out and live off the grid.
Gotcha. Okay.
You know, you have some of these people now, you know, I mean, they have solar panels, they have windmills, everything else. And I mean, and some of them, it's like a game, you know, let's see how long we can live off the grid, right. You know, and I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, if you saw the picture of the water system, it's actually like a dehumidifier that you can now, it's the company's going to be manufacturing starting next year, where these boondockers can take this thing with them. It's like a dehumidifier and make their own fresh water.
No, I did not see that.
It pulls it right out of the air.
You know, can I make a quick suggestion for you? I think that you should be doing like 2-minute camping tips for YouTube. You know, Einar's camping tip, or RV, like all this stuff is such valuable information, especially for newbies like me, because I want to take my kids out camping, but my wife's not into camping. And I sadly have never been, but I have multiple friends.
Get an RV.
Yeah.
Rent an RV. Rent America.
Okay.
That's one of the big national companies. And I mean, you know, just to get you out there to try it.
Yeah. I mean, I've always dreamt.
You know, they even have vans. You don't have to rent the big RV.
Right. Yeah. I just wrote about a company recently. I know, like, Juicy smaller vans, but you know, I got two kids, and so now we need something a little bit bigger. And I've always dreamt about, like, going out to the Grand Canyon in an RV, you know, after seeing the National Lampoon's Vacation or the Brady Bunch.
Yeah. It's like, you know, Nancy and I, we started, you know, tent camping before we got married, and then, you know, we tent camped. I mean, we've actually only been RVing for now for 8 years, 9 years.
Okay.
It's been all tent camping up until then.
And do you still tent camp?
Not really.
Hey, it's okay.
If you ever saw this rolling condo we have, yeah, you want to go back.
So is yours over 45 feet?
It's 35 feet.
Okay.
It has three slide outs. It has a bunk room.
What's a slide out? Just slide out like a kitchen or something?
Well, on ours, it's a closet in the bedroom.
Okay.
So a wardrobe that slides out. You know, once you get it set up on site,
okay,
you can slide this wardrobe out and for all the hanging clothes. And then in the main living area, we have, it's a 16-foot slide out. It slides out 3 feet. So it makes your floor space more floor space. We have a sofa and a dinette that slides out. And then in the back, we have a bunk room. And there's another 10-foot slide out there that slides out to make that room bigger. We have in our back, in our bunk room, we have four bunks in there. And then our dinette folds down into a double bed. And then our couch in the living area folds down into a double bed. And then we have a queen-size bed in the bedroom.
So in a 35-foot, is it a camper van or RV, you can sleep like 10 people?
Yeah.
And do you know how many square feet all that is? Any idea?
240.
Is it? Wow. Yeah. And what's the longest you've ever slept in that thing?
Oh, a week.
Okay.
We go up to Maine.
And is there a bathroom in there?
Yeah. And a shower, hot water heater. Everything's in there. We have a double sink, hot water heater, stall shower.
TV?
And ours is one of the small ones.
Yeah.
I mean, once you get into like the fifth wheels, which is a totally different type of the way that you tow it. I mean, some of those have two full bathrooms. They have 10-foot ceilings.
So are you saying you tow this thing?
Yeah.
Oh, you tow it to it. You have a pickup truck.
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking you drive this thing.
No. This is a travel trailer.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. I'm learning. Okay. But I do think you really should do a YouTube videos on how to do all this stuff, because I want to do it. I need advice and I need step-by-step.
Well, you see, the reason Nancy and I, like I said, we started out tent camping. Okay. And then finally she got sick and tired of the airbed, waking up in the morning and the airbed leaked or something. And, you know, laying flat on the floor of the tent, you know, so then we went to we bought a used pop-up camper.
Okay.
And then we had that one for 2 years and it was kind of small. So I wanted something a little bit larger. So I found one that had a slide out where the dinette slid out. And it also had a couch in it as well. You know, because on a day when it's raining or something, you only have like two places to sit. It's on either the bed on either end, or else you sit at the dinette and you just sit there and stare at each other, you know, in the rain, you know. So then we got rid of that one and we bought what they called a hybrid camper, which is like a trailer, but it has the beds on the end that open up like a pop-up camper. And we had that for 5 years, almost 5 years. And then we spotted this other one for sale at the campgrounds where we are. And we just got this 35 footer used.
Wow. So, you know, our grandfather died before I was born.
Same with me.
Did he? Okay. You never met him?
Yeah. No, never met him.
Oh, okay. So yeah. Unfortunately, I was going to ask you, did he camp? Do you know?
I have no idea.
Yeah. That's sad. I
all
mean,
I know is, you know, he was a merchant marine. And when in Norwalk, he was the milkman.
Right. So your dad, what was the best camping advice your dad ever gave you?
Don't go out to any of the islands off of Norwalk. A lot of rats.
Really? Are there a lot of water rats?
Yeah.
I guess
when he got out of the Marine Corps, him and a buddy of his who he's in the Marine Corps with, they went out on a rowboat out to one of the islands camping. And my father, I think, had just gotten married to my mother. So the wives were going to come out. So they went out and they picked him up. And they rode him out to the island where they had the tent set up and everything else. You know, it was going to be like an escape weekend or something. And at night, they brought the food in with them into the tent that they had, which I believe wasn't that big. And the rats could smell the food. And I guess the rats were digging into through the tarp of the tent to try to get in there. And, of course, the women freaked out. And my mother said, never again. Oh.
Yeah. The rats would not work well if that happens with my wife. So anyway,
go with an RV.
Yeah. Okay. That's the best advice I can give anyone right now. Get an RV. Einar.
Yeah. I mean, you can get into tent camping and all that. Start out. I mean, you can put into it whatever you want. You can start out small or you can go big. I mean, even with the tents nowadays, the tents are like houses almost. Yeah. They come when they have LED lights in them. They have outlets so you can plug the thing in. They even have, you know, so you can charge your cell phones, you know, the USB ports. You know, it's what you want to put into it.
Gotcha. All right, Einar. Well, we're going to wrap this up. We went a lot longer than we thought, but thank you so much for taking the time. And again, where can people find your blog?
EinarsCampingTips.com.
And just put your email in, and every Saturday, boom.
Yep. I can it automatically be sent to you.
Awesome. Yeah, I love
Tell
that.
Natalie to watch it.
I will. All right, Einar. Take care.
Thank you. Good seeing you again, Johnny.
You too, buddy.